Good Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
So, I have got to say that I've been looking forward to this interview for quite a while. So, if you are a cricket fan, you will know exactly who our guest is this morning. If not, get ready to have your mind blown. So, not only did she represent England in 3 Cricket World Cups, she also captained the side to victory in the 1993 edition. So, for the last a lot of years, I've got to say that she's been an irrevocable part of the cricket setup in South Africa, as well as our own Sky Blues here in Pretoria, currently managing both the Momentum Multiply Titans men's team, as well as the Fidelity Titans women. Now, you've seen her pitch side on the screen, you've heard her voice on commentary, and I'm not even going to exaggerate when I say this, that without people like her, you would not know the names of the likes of Nat Silverbrand, Danny White, Heather Knight, other world-class players like Smriti Mandhana, Shamara Tapatu, and of course our very own people like Marizane Kapp, Laura Wolfhard, Chloe Tryon. This woman was part of the foundation. On the line, better known as Kaz, what a pleasure. Karen Smithies, welcome to Groot FM.
Wow, it's great to be on Groot FM this lovely Thursday morning. And wow, what an introduction. Very kind. Thank you very much.
Now, I've got to tell you, there are no lies there. And it's so interesting to me because I think the cricket community in South Africa, they know exactly who you are because you've been such a staple. And when I actually went back and kind of dug into your history, I knew you played for England. It's actually insane, and we'll get to all that. But let's take it back to the beginning. Let's take it back over the ocean, back to England. Where did you grow up, Kaz?
I grew up in a place called Colville in Leicestershire in the Midlands. Really from a very, not really a sporting family per se. My dad played local club cricket. My mum just raised the kids, so to speak. So it was pretty sleepy time for us. But my dad did play club cricket, as I mentioned, and he always took me along to his weekend games. He then became like the groundsman, the treasurer of the club and everything else involved, which I kind of got involved with from that very early age. And my first real taste of women's cricket came via an umpire in that local league, actually. Knew a lady called Kim Robertson, who played in Loughborough, who then was playing for Leicestershire Women at the time. But then I had a trial and I guess they say the rest is history. And by 15, I went on my first junior England tour to Denmark. And yeah,
oh,
and then
my
on
word.
It went from there.
That's insane, because if I think, for example, just we'll get to the South African setup, which you obviously know very well right now. If I'm thinking about a 15-year-old Kaz back in England, it's actually insane. What was the idea around girls cricket in the time that you came up?
Yeah, well, I was also fortunate enough to meet at that time was Enid Bakewell, who's a bit of a legend in the game herself. You know, she'd been on tours prior to that, playing for England, you know, traveling to Australia, New Zealand, 6 weeks on a boat there, 6 weeks there, and 6 weeks on a boat back.
Yeah.
And all the same time, having a family as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, meeting her as early as I did, I think really gave me that idea that, yeah, no, this is not such a bad thing to be in, even though it was all very amateur. Everything was not paid for. So my family, that first trip to Denmark, we flew from Heathrow, so Leicester to Heathrow, about 100 miles. Mum and Dad took me to Heathrow. We actually stayed with families in Denmark at that
wow.
time. We paid for our flights, paid for our shirts, our kit. So everything, you know, came from, you know, my mum and dad at that stage. But at 15, you know, you're playing in another country, you're staying with other people. They actually played on matting as well and not turf.
Sure.
At that stage. But you know what? It's, you know, people that I met there, I still have contact with today.
Not-
you know, that was in that Danish team. One's actually a very good friend of mine, Nina. She's actually on the board of Danish cricket now. So that was also quite a special part of it, I guess.
You mentioned the kit, Kaz, and we've got to talk about this. You played in skirts.
How terrible was that? they were called collets, I think it was. And my very first skirt actually came from Enid, because I wore a tennis skirt with green on, which was so not allowed, yeah, when I first went for my trial. So she gave me, the skirt, which I've still got today, by the way, in my history box. They were very awkward, and we toured India twice during that time wearing these skirts. 95 was a test series, 97 was obviously the defence of the World Cup, and sure, when you're four, you know, the pitches there were not really geared up for women, I guess, prancing around in skirts, diving around on this very grassy, you know, dusty terrain, but very awkward. 93 was obviously we wore skirts, but 97 saw the change when we actually played against the South African touring side in the UK in 1997. So a great change for us, but also great to play against Africa, where I've ended up.
Absolutely. So we're going to follow that journey to the southern point of Africa in a bit. So stay tuned. We're talking to Karen, better known as Kaz Smithies, one of, in my opinion, the biggest legends in cricket, even if she is an Englishwoman. Stay tuned.
The Groot Breakfast with Ruben and Sharuniga on Groot FM 90.5.
Brad Paisley, So Many Summers, ready on Groot FM 90.5. And I will say that So Many Summers, that's exactly what I think that Kaz actually experienced when she came to South Africa. So you spoke about the test series, Kaz. We're talking to Karen Smithies. Like I said, I'm going to call her Kaz because I think that's what she prefers as well. How on earth did you end up in South Africa?
That's a very good question. You've mentioned the weather, so I guess it was quite a factor. coming from where I'm come from. But so, obviously, my end of playing career really happened in 2000. But in 97, as I said, we played against Africa in a home series back in the UK. And then after that, we met up again, I guess, in 97, later in 97 in India for the World Cup. And I got chatting to a few of the, you know, the players at the time and hearing their journey, I guess, which, you know, was really from very little resource and facilities. Actually, was commendable for them to where they were at that stage without all that resource behind them. So we got chatting, and eventually I landed up here in 98 as a coach and player of the University of Pretoria. Was invited there by a gentleman, the name of Colin Detmer, who was a big women's cricket supporter. Unfortunately, not here with us today, but, you know, he had a really good setup going there at Tux. And I really enjoyed it. I was, well, you know, the weather was fantastic. The facilities were great. The players and the talent that they had was immense, and I just saw a huge potential, I guess, which gave me some kind of impetus into a challenge. And I was moving into the coaching sphere at that time, so it really had a perfect fit, I guess.
I love the fact that you mentioned that, because obviously when I think of you, I think of you as the commentator and the administrator. But I never actually knew, to be quite honest, that you came over and started out in coaching. And I've got to ask you, no holds bar, when you got off the plane, walked into the coaching setup, was it a boys' club in terms of South African cricket?
Very much so. it was, and as I say, you know, women's cricket seemed to be in its infancy. But wow, there was so much talent that I saw. And I did my level coaching ECB level 1 and 2 in the UK. And I was fortunate enough to do my level 3 here in a very cold winter's Bloemfontein. Pat Simcox was also on that course as well. I think it was back in 2001 and 2, around there. But one thing always remained with me to give back to the game, even though, look, it cost me, my family a lot of money to play cricket. And it was only in 1998 when the Women's Cricket Association in the UK then amalgamated with the ECB. And then things started to change. You know, you got your travel expenses back and things like that. You didn't have to pay for your shirts anymore or your kit or anything like that. So then it began to change. But obviously then I was finishing. But to give back to the game here in South Africa, and the talent that I saw, I can't emphasize that enough. I just saw so much raw talent and potential that, wow, gave me that big wow factor, I guess.
And something that's always interesting to me, I'm going to be honest, I only like really got into women's cricket the last, let's say, 4 years. And so we know the big names, the Danais, the Lizelles, the Kappies now. But there were so many incredible female cricketers that played for the Proteas throughout the years, and even for our provincial sides, that people don't know about.
Absolutely, 100%, and largely unnoticed. You know, the likes of Kim Price was captain at that time for the South African team that came over to the UK. They played at Lords. We played at Lords in that series, huh? How incredible is that?
Yeah.
In an ODI. We played at top grounds. It was live on Sky Sports, and it was quite a thing for them. They were coached by, South Africa that is, were coached by Comrade Hunt at the time. Sean Cade was their manager, who's not really involved with it anymore, sadly. But, you know, they gave so much. And Kim Price, Helen Davis, Linda Olivier, all names in their own right, actually, that made a difference in this country. For the likes of Danae and Mignon, that I know, obviously, from this side of the world, to lay their platform. And thankfully they did. And, you know, they've had great careers now themselves, which is also fantastic.
And we've got to talk to this. So after all this, let's fast forward to 2023. I remember watching the launch of the league, our domestic professional women's league. We were ecstatic to see this playing field being leveled. And right now, obviously, you're also playing a big role on the Fidelity Titans side. We're heading into the second league, second season of the professional women's domestic league. Question number one with regards to this, where do you think we are in comparison? Because obviously you've got settled domestic competitions, county competitions, for example, in the UK, and we've got Australia, etc. As we're going to pre-season for the second year in South Africa, how are we comparing?
Look, firstly, it was fantastic that, you know, 11 contracts were offered to win Division One with five other teams. So that's fantastic. You know, that is the beginning. That's only the start. And also the transition from amateurism to professionalism was always going to be a key one as well. And now you manage that, I think. But now it's begun. And it's not just the contracts that you've got to look after. You know, it's all the resources, the facilities, everything underneath that really must go alongside those contracts. No point having 11 contracts if you're playing at the most awful facilities, et cetera, you know, not access to the best coaches and so forth. So that's just the beginning, and great for the women that they can now actually train and play cricket every day of their lives. Unbelievable. They're going to improve. That's without a doubt.
Absolutely.
But it can't stop there.
No, and I think what the cool thing about that is that you said now play cricket every day of their life. Being paid to play cricket, I actually spoke to someone that's been playing since she was 11 years old. She's been playing cricket for over 2 decades and now is for the first time a contract provincial cricketer. And it's so cool to see how someone worked 20 years of their life. They did it absolutely for the love of the game. And now it's kind of weird to be a professional cricketer for the first time.
Right. No, it's an incredible turnaround. And you know, you mentioned how do we compare with the likes of England and Australia. They've got massive, massive, massive debt. And obviously, bearing in mind, they've been going for a lot longer, I guess.
Yeah.
1998, we amalgamated with the English and Wales Cricket Board. That's 26 years ago. So the strides that they've made, and in terms of contractual players who are on really good contracts now. But you've not only got your creme de la creme, you've got every county within that country with professional players. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love to see, like, in the 100, for example, now, you've got 16-year-olds bowling out to some of the biggest names ever. I love it.
Incredible, isn't it? And, yeah, I'm watching the 100 now, and, you know, I think the youngster, I can't remember her name, playing for Lottie, Charlotte Edwards, with a Southern Brave, a 16, 17-year-old. And like you rightly say, bowling against the superstars of the game. Wow. You know, if ever I had that opportunity, it would have been mind-boggling for me.
Absolutely.
Which I say to the girls there, you know, the opportunities that they have is so, so massive. So massive. Not just in playing, I guess, but in scoring, umpiring, administration, whatever the case may be. But there's so, so many opportunities, not just domestically, but internationally as well.
Absolutely. We'll be back with Kaz in just a little bit.
The Good Breakfast with Ruben and Sharuniga on Good FM 95.5.
This is like the perfect treat as a pre-Women's Day treat for us. We are an all-female lineup today, and what a guest to have on the Good Breakfast this morning. Karen Smithies, it actually now feels so weird having a conversation with you and having to say Karen Smithies, where I know you prefer Kaz.
Indeed. Please stick with the Kaz.
Absolutely. I think we'll just do that when we podcast this interview as well. Just make sure it says Kaz. And then if you wonder who it is, what the hell is wrong with you? Just before we took the break, Kaz, you actually said that you would have killed to be in the position that the girls are, for example, now in the 100. But I want to ask you this. So T20 leagues, obviously massive around the world for women as well. We've got the WPL, which is insane. Big Bash, obviously been around for a few years. Caribbean League, currently the 100, which I am absolutely obsessed with. It's all very entertaining, very lucrative. But longer formats for our women. Do we have space for it in our calendar?
Well, the call is generally, I think, that the women want to play more test cricket, which is fantastic. I myself had the privilege of playing 15, can you believe?
Are you serious? 15 test matches?
15, and mostly against India, funnily enough, either in the UK or in India. But I was listening to commentary recently where, you know, somebody like Susie Bates, New Zealander, who's played a legend of the game, played a lot of cricket, has never played a test match. So, but the call is, and I'm happy to see that, you know, there's multi-formats of the game coming along now in bilateral series. So, you know, the girls are now getting this opportunity. Our recent Momentum Proteas obviously just played a test match in India, which was fantastic. You know, these test matches are becoming something that they're looking to play more of, which I think you can only enhance the game.
Absolutely, because I'm not a cricketer myself. I'm one of those who can't do watch. I have to imagine that the mindset of a test match is obviously completely different. Not even looking at technicalities like, let's say, looking for your strike rate or something like that. Just having that mindset of, listen, this is going to go on for a couple of days.
Yeah, and it's massive. You know, imagine going from a three-hour game to a four-day game.
Jeez.
It's just planets and worlds apart. And that's where I guess your strength and your fitness, your mental toughness all come into play. But I, you know, even from our setup here, you know, to play for us, declaration cricket, I still believe it is the foundation where men and women, you know, learn their game. As a batter, as a bowler, you know, your length, your lines, working out a batsman. On the other hand, batsmen, you know, building an innings, your areas, all those kind of things make you a player. And I think the more you play that, the better all-round player you become.
And it's actually incredible if you think about that, because obviously the men have their four-day series. The women domestic don't have that yet, but I really hope that that is something that is in our future with regards to the domestic league. Let's just get the professional league past the second season as well. But I do think it's going really well. And I have to say, it's an amazing feeling to switch on Super Sport and be able to watch women's domestic cricket as well for the first time ever.
right? No, that was a really, really great innovation and something that I hope continues. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it was the first time last year, I think it was May the 8th, we March the 8th, where we played Free State in a double header with the guys. We played later in the day. It was all televised, fantastic. SuperSport Park also had the first domestic women's ticketed game as well in December, which was a first. So all these things really add up to the professionalism of the game. And, you know, it's starting now and it's only just got to get bigger and better.
From your side, I'm going to ask you a very difficult question now, and you are allowed to be honest, but I don't think you've ever been dishonest. I heard someone once called you feisty, and I think that's the biggest compliment in the world. Kaz, who's the best women's cricket team in the world right now?
Australia, I think it's got to be, just because of their record, recent record, and the players, you know, that they're producing. Along with, I guess, the experience that they've got. I know Meg Lanning now is retired from international cricket, but the legacy she's left is massive. India, you know, they're with the WPL, that emergence, their domestic cricketers now are getting more exposure. So they'll become more of a force, I think, in the next year or two. Obviously, my old stomping ground, England, watching them, three quality spinners at the moment. The World Cup's coming up in October, T20 in October in Bangladesh, although that's under review, I think, with what's happening there. But with three spinners, they've got a quality lineup, good seam left and right arm, good mix, very strong contenders as well. But having said that, you know, your Sri Lankans, your Pakistan teams are all improving. All your lesser teams, I guess, in years gone by that really stood no chance against the bigger players, yeah, are beginning to close that gap. And that's, you know, the momentum Proteas. They've had a fantastic few years, actually, culminated in playing in the World Cup final not so long ago, which was fantastic at Newlands. So all big players on the day, any team really can show what they're made of.
I think that's what I'm looking forward to most as we head closer to the 3rd of October, as, like you mentioned, the World Cup kicks off. Because I think, rightly saying, like, this absolute juggernaut that is Australian cricket, they are incredible, but they are not unbeatable. And I don't think, because if you asked me a month ago, my answer would obviously also include India as World Cup winners, and then Sri Lanka smashing them in the Asia Cup. So,
correct. Yeah.
I love that. I love that that is where we are, that the gaps between the nations are being narrowed so we can see great cricket and actually just watch it for the love of the game.
Yeah. No, it is. And I'll tell you what really made a big difference as well was the inaugural under-19 Women's World Cup. Again, held in South Africa, the first one. That, to me, is massive in the development of the game. You know, you're giving these youngsters early exposure, I guess, to international opposition, different opposition, different conditions. All of that really counts for a player development. And I hope, and I'm sure it will, it will continue, and that will also strengthen the women's game to new heights, I guess, in time.
Absolutely. Now, I've got to ask you, Kaz, are you taking leave in December when the English are coming to play at SuperSport Park?
Definitely not. I'll be on duty, obviously, at SuperSport Park when we've got the game here in, let me see, when it is, 30th of November, a T20 game. So I'll be on duty then, but it was also good to see, you know, some of my old mates from the UK coming out here. But I'll be doing a couple of commentary gigs as well, so looking forward to it.
Just on a lighter note, before I let you go, otherwise I'm going to keep you here the whole day, Kaz, is obviously, like I said, we know your voice from the commentary. And I have to say thank you, because I learned a lot about cricket just from listening to the commentary. It really helps a lot. It's like the version of a subtitle when you watch something that's not in your own language, because I had no idea what the difference is between cow and point and slip fielding, and it's amazing to hear you talking about it. Did you ever have to bite your tongue if you wanted to swear or say, why the hell didn't you make that catch?
Yeah, no, sometimes it can be a bit tricky, I guess, and you have to remember where you are. But, you know, it's been really, I'm a bit, I guess, microphone shy sometimes. You know, it's not really something I'm used to. I think the more you do it, the better you get at it. But you know, just again, to be part of, you know, watching even our players, you know, now from Elise Marie Marks made her debut last year, and actually I was on commentary on her first ball. Yeah, I was so emotional. I just thought, oh gosh, what do I say now? You know, Plenty, please don't, please bowl it straight. Please bowl a dot ball or get a wicket or something. But it's those kind of moments that really, again, make it, you know, all worthwhile and special.
Absolutely. Karen Smithies, I have to just say your full name for people who don't know you and want to go Google you. Kaz, thank you so very much. It has been an extreme honor to speak to a legend of the game and someone that chose to come and put in all your skill and all your history and all your experience into South African cricket, and now the women's game as well, in South Africa. So thank you so much. Please send our regards to the Sky Blues. I know their season also starts in October. Tell them to give them hell.
Will do. And thank you very much for the invitation. It's really been fun. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Thank you, Kaz.
Thank you.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.